Chapter 6. Visualization. Pictures equal performance. Images, the targets of the nervous system. In 1974, Jack Nicklaus described the importance of visualization in his game. "I never hit a shot, even in practice, without having a very sharp, in-focus picture of it in my head. It's like a color movie. First, I see the ball where I want it to finish, nice and white, and sitting up high on the bright green grass. Then the scene quickly changes, and I see the ball going there, its path, trajectory, and shape, even its behavior on landing. Then there's sort of a fade-out, and the next scene shows me making the kind of swing that will turn the previous images into reality. Only at the end of the short, private, Hollywood spectacular do I select a club and step up to the ball." Senior tour player Dave Hill has won 10 regular tour events, 3 senior tour events, a Vardon Trophy, and played on 3 Ryder Cup teams. He says of visualization, "Imagination is very important in shot making. If you can't picture it, you can't do it." During a 1993 interview, Paul Azinger noted that he was reviewing the computer statistics of his record. He said he began to play well in 1987, the same time he began to use visualization during play. He won one tournament a year through 1994. His record was interrupted in 1994 due to a bout with cancer. "We do what we see. We think in pictures. Describing the putt or shot you're about to make paints a mental picture of the outcome. As we approach difficult situations, we picture the events in our mind's eye. We visualize in detail the sequence of events that we anticipate. This visualization of the expected events is often negative. We tend to visualize the consequences of a poor shot, and we focus on the hazards or unfavorable judgment by others. We also play out the dialogue of these visualized situations in our thinking. Most players have a hole or two on a course, which they play often, where they know they are going to hit a great drive, no matter how poorly they may have hit on other holes. Most players also have a hole or two where they are going to hit poor tee shots, no matter how well they are hitting the ball. Now, when these players walk on the tees, their images are of their past performance. They expect to hit a good shot or a poor shot. Now, if you have a habit of emoting over and analyzing bad shots, you're going to have clear images of poor past performance. If you accept poor performance and recall only your success after each round, you'll start to have images and an expectancy of good performance. Remember the story about Jack Nicklaus when he was giving a clinic at a tournament site and he was asked how to cure a shank. He said he didn't know because he had never hit one. And then a clinic participant spoke up, indicating the tournament, the day, and the hole in which Nicklaus had shanked a shot. Nicklaus responded something to the effect of, "Maybe I did, but I don't remember it." Peak performers, both on and off the course, focus on the shot they hit well. They focus on this shot out of the past or the positive way they handled a situation. The positive focus prepares you to perform in a confident, relaxed manner. A negative focus prepares you to perform in a negative, tense state. Negative visual anticipation prepares the nervous system to perform an error and produces an undesired arousal state that increases the chance of poor performance. Remember what Greg Norman says. "I talk to myself, not aloud, but inside my head. The tougher the shot I'm facing, the more I talk. If I'm on the last hole of a tournament, facing a long iron shot to the green, needing a birdie to win, I'll say to myself, you know this shot cold. You've knocked it stiff 1,000 times. And now you're going to do it again." PGA Tour player Fred Couples never hits a shot without calling up a similar shot he hit well in the past. We think in pictures. When you approach a difficult shot, do you think of a shot you hit well in that situation before, or the shot you hit poorly? If you are like most golfers, you will likely recall the shot you hit poorly. If you have a difficult situation in your day-to-day life, do you think of the time you handled that situation well, or do you focus on all the possible negative outcomes? Most people focus on all the possible negative outcomes. Research in the areas of internal dialogue and visualization suggests that the brain cannot tell the difference between real and imagined experience. Learning takes place in the nervous system and is stored in its neurochemical network. This learning results from both real and imagined experience. This concept is presented pictorially later in this chapter. Sam Snead recalled an experience with imagery in his 1960 book. It was at the Masters Tournament long ago that I discovered how mental images can be planted in the brain, particularly by the golfer himself, which is self-needling. Playing with Jim Ternesia one day, I was intently studying his actions on the tee. Ternesia pushed his drive into the timber to the right. The image of everything Ternesia had done was so strong in my mind that I stepped up and my muscles followed the image and I did the same thing, landing almost exactly in the same spot in the jungle as Jim. After that, I watched my opponents only casual-like. LPGA Tour player Marta Figueres Doty and PGA Tour player Brad Bryant won the JCPenney Classic Team Play Championship December 4, 1994. Marta said she stood on the 17th tee, a par 3, the last day of the event with a 5-iron. She said, "I felt so good in my routine, I knew I was going to hit a good shot. I hit it right over the flagstick and landed it 10 feet away from the hole. Then on the third playoff hole, we were back on 17. I said to myself, you were just here an hour ago. Just set up and hit the same shot. I had the same feeling in my setup, and this time I knocked it 4 feet. Marta and Brad won the tournament on the fourth playoff hole. Changing predictions and images. The following situation I want you to consider carefully. You've just taken a 7 on a hole. As you step to the next tee, you see water right and out of bounds left. You begin to recall times in the past when you've hit both shots. As you recall these events, your mind begins to paint vivid pictures of these past errant shots. You're on the tee. What do you think the outcome of your shot will be? Negative predictions and associated thoughts are of no assistance. These negative predictions work against you. When a single negative prediction is repeated frequently in thoughts and images, it becomes established as a belief. Remember, these images create neuroanatomical changes with repeated practice. Like other thought themes, these habit patterns can be changed with repeated daily practice of alternative thoughts. If you don't implement a strategy to change this negative style, the patterns become more deeply ingrained with repeated use, and the environment is in control, not you. It's your choice. The mental pre-swing chain presented in the chapter titled Routine includes a link of describing the shot you want to hit. This is the same process. Predict a positive outcome. The more positive information your brain has to work with, the more likely positive performance will result, and the more confident, relaxed, and effortless you will feel. You can start by looking at your good performance and reinforcing and replaying that positive information in your mind for future reference. This will give you both confidence and a positive motor program when you need it. Recall how Greg Norman talks to himself so he can remember and repeat good shots. I also talk after I hit shots. After a particularly long straight drive, I'll often say, "Damn, Greg, I'm pretty impressed with that one." These inner words can be more encouraging than the cheers of the gallery. You don't want to linger too long on your shots, good or bad, but you do want to stamp the good ones on your mind for future reference in pressure situations. Silent self-congratulations is one way to do that. This strategy works in day-to-day life events as well. Bank your successes and call upon that positive history when faced with difficult life situations. Bank success, yours and theirs. Byron Nelson reflected on his caddying days as a way of developing a good swing. The great thing about caddying was that you watched people and saw good players and bad players and so forth. So you got a feeling in your subconscious and in your mind of how a good swing looked. It was an accumulation of what you saw over a period of time that made you become a good player. I know Ben Hogan has said that a man he caddied for, Ed Stewart, had some influence on him in his early days, and I'm sure he did. Ed was a long hitter. He had a long, high hook, and that's what Ben had. You know, I was influenced by my caddying because there weren't many books about golf, and there was no photography of golfers playing. Johnny Miller advocates finding a pro model you like and imitating his swing. I refer to this as banking or storing the memory of a swing in your nervous system. Johnny Miller says he used images of different pros, depending on whether he wanted to fade, draw, or hit a straight shot. Miller said he modeled Kerry Middlecoff's swing in developing his swing in his youth. Similarly, PGA Tour player Vijay Singh watched Tom Weisskopf's swing on television as a child and modeled what he saw. His father taught him the basics. He had no formal instruction other than watching Weisskopf swing. Interestingly, Tom Weisskopf says he learned by watching Sam Snead and Tommy Bolt. He also noted that he learned by watching and competing with Jack Nicklaus. Johnny Miller says he always enjoyed playing with guys who were leading a tournament because he was able to learn from those situations by watching how others performed under pressure. He further noted that when you pass your prime and you're under pressure, you have to dial back to a time when you were a younger player dealing with pressure, and then reproduce those feelings and behavior. I suggest you can dial back at any time and think of past success when you want to improve your performance. PGA Tour player Andrew McGee says that the best time to practice is when you're striking the ball well. He says that at these times, he doesn't try to analyze his swing. Instead, he says he uses this practice time to commit to memory what his best swing feels like. He also practices after a round if he has played exceptionally well. This practice time he uses to bank the feeling of this good swing. Remember, Fred Couples never hits a shot without recalling a similar shot he has hit well before. He states, "When I'm over the ball, I picture the shot I'm trying to hit, and I think of a shot that I hit might be 7 years ago, might be the day before that was successful. But one thing you don't do is think of bad things when you're over the ball. People might think about bad shots, but I don't. Even on shots I might be scared to hit or whatever. Now, I visualize things like the 6-iron I hit at Riviera under pressure against Davis Love III on the 14th hole in the playoff at the 1992 Nissan Los Angeles Open. It won the tournament for me. I didn't hit it 1 foot away. It was 10 to 12 feet away. When I'm on the 18th tee at Augusta, I think of Riviera. I say, here I am, 18 at Riviera, and I picture the ball fading. Every shot I do that. Joe," and that's Couples' caddy, "gives me the yardage and I get the club. I immediately think of a shot like now with the 9-iron. I'll think third hole at Augusta where I hit it 8 inches. European and PGA Tour player Seve Ballesteros says he paints positive pictures of smooth swings and successful results in my mind's eye. He uses this particular strategy not only to visualize a positive outcome, but also to calm his nerves. Most amateurs will recall the missed shot into the hazard off the tee or fairway, or difficulty recovering from a trouble shot the next time they have that shot, especially on the same hole. Jack Nicklaus described a similar recollection on his way to winning the 1993 Senior Open on the 12th hole of the final round. As I was lining up the putt, I realized that this was the exact same putt I had in the final round of the 1960 Open. I was 5-under then, too, but I missed it. Nicklaus also missed that putt on the 12th hole, but he went on to win by 1 stroke over Tom Weisskopf. This example amplifies the point that we tend to remember content that is triggered by similar conditions. For Nicklaus, both were U.S. Opens and both putts were on the 12th hole. We also remember situations to which we attach the most emotion. Interestingly, these conditions not only triggered the memory of the missed putt on number 12 in 1960, they also trigger the memory of playing the last 6 holes 3-over par. In response to this recollection, Nicklaus turned to his son and caddy Jack and said, "We're not playing the last 6 holes like I did then." In fact, this determination led him to 1-under on the last 6 holes, leading to the 1993 Senior Open victory. During the 1960 U.S. Open at Cherry Hills, Arnold Palmer was 7 shots behind leader Mike Suchak going into the last round. Palmer stepped onto the first tee of the final round and drove the green of the 346-yard par 4. He shot 65 that day and won the Open by 1 shot. As Palmer stepped onto the first tee of the 1993 Senior Open at Cherry Hills, 33 years later, his thoughts were still on that memorable shot. "I certainly couldn't ignore the fact that everyone in the gallery was thinking about it. I'm no different. I was thinking about it too." The next time you have a tee shot, a chip, a putt, or a shot to the green, recall a similar shot you hit well. Picture the shot and your swing, and experience the feeling of the swing, your tempo and balance as you do. Put that feeling into the shot. You will be pleasantly surprised at the outcome. Jack Nicklaus summarizes this process well. He says, "Thinking of past successes instead of failures will help you. If your situation suggests a shot that you've never hit successfully before, reject it and recompute less ambitiously. Choose a play that you've already pulled off brilliantly. Replay that success in your mind as you step up to the ball. If you keep your mind this busy, you won't have time to get tense and pressured." Nicklaus also says, "Visualize. First see the brilliant previous achievement, then the shot now facing you behaving identically. Picture yourself taking the club that will pull it off, then executing the necessary swing. As you finalize your setup, say to yourself, 'Okay, I'm ready now. Just do it and go.'" Pictures of victory. We all have periods where our thoughts and images drift to other times and places. These periods are called daydreams. When we are relaxed and comfortable, we tend to drift into places that are representations of our goals and fantasies of the future, or to a more reinforcing place. In the sixth game of the 1993 World Series, Toronto was leading Philadelphia 3-2. The score was 6-5 in the bottom of the ninth. There were two outs and two men on base and two strikes on Toronto's Joe Carter. Philadelphia was one strike away from winning Game 6. Carter hit the next pitch over the left field wall. This won both the game and the 1993 World Series. During an interview following the series, Carter said he had lived that fantasy behind his father's gas station as a boy. Two outs, two strikes, one run down, and hitting a home run to win the World Series. You'll find numerous quotes from tour players describing their thoughts during putting practice and their years prior to the tour. "He needs this putt for a birdie to win." Gary Player describes his thinking during practice. "Always when putting, I'd imagine I was about to win one of the major tournaments, saying to myself, 'This one's for the U.S. Open. Gary, the British Open,' and so forth and so on. I believe then and still do that your wildest dreams come true." Part of Gary Player's daily preparation for the 1965 U.S. Open was to see his name next to the number one spot every time he passed the leaderboard the week of the Open. "I was walking past the Masters scoreboard, which includes the names, lettered in gold, of all the previous winners, with space alongside for that year's winner. Then suddenly I saw my name, lettered in that space. I really saw it. It was bright gold, just like the others. All during the Open, I visualized myself winning. Set long-term goals and immediate performance goals and begin to see yourself accomplishing them. We all have daydreams. Many of these images reflect our fantasies and goals. That's not to say, if you have a performance fantasy, reality will always follow. If you daydream or nightdream, you visualize. Why not load all of your daydreams and fantasies with success? These images promote confidence and prepare you for positive experience. Set goals and see yourself achieving them." Process and outcome visualization. There are two types of visualization: images of outcome and images during the process of performance. Outcome images are the easiest for you since they are already a part of everyone's daydreams. Hopefully, these outcome images are seeing yourself succeed. An example is Gary Player seeing his name in the number one position on the leaderboard each day prior to the 1965 U.S. Open. He won the Open that year. Seeing yourself succeed, no matter what the event, on or off the course, is outcome visualization. You set a goal and then see yourself succeeding at that goal. Many players set themselves up for mediocre performance. For example, the tour rookie will set his sights, or his images, on making the cut. He finds himself on the bubble week after week, making or missing the cut by a stroke or two. Set your goals for peak performance and see yourself attaining those goals. Positive process visualization is much more difficult to master, since most players tend to be very mechanical, which is a negative process. They approach their swing with this negative process imagery. Positive process visualization is just like positive outcome visualization, except you break the large goal into a shot at a time and see successful swing and ball flight or roll outcome on every shot. For example, Gary Player says, "I've conditioned myself to visualize the path of my shots before I play them. I always believe in positive thinking. To me, it's all part of concentration." During the shot or stroke, your goal is to repeat the feeling of your practice swing and to hold a picture of the target, ball flight, or ball landing in your mind's eye. At the very least, one of these images should be your last focus as you start the club back. Let's look at a few strategies that will enhance both your process and outcome visualization skills. Yes, you can. I have had many players tell me, "No matter how hard I try, I can't see the line, ball, flight, target, the ball landing, and so on." There are many reasons you can't, or at least think you can't. The first is your expectancy. You will probably never have a crystal clear picture. If you try too hard, the picture is going to be fuzzy at best. Describe the number one hole at your home course. Is it a par 4 or a par 5? Or perhaps even a par 3? Is it a dog leg or straight? Are there reachable hazards off the tee? If so, is the hazard sand, water, brush, or trees? Is there an out of bounds left or right off the tee? What was the fairway like the last time you played? Was it lush, brown? Is the fairway wide or narrow? Can you see more tracks in the fairway from the first tee? Is there a flat landing area, uphill, downhill, or sidehill? Is there rough? Are there homes along the fairway? The last time you played, did you hear sounds of traffic, voices, cart noise, birds, maintenance crews, music from a fairway home, construction noise, the voice of the starter over the public address system, or other sounds on the first tee? Now let's return to the first tee, still considering the last time you played. How many players were in your group? Were you relaxed, confident, and comfortable, or nervous, tense? Were you concerned about getting your first shot in play? Were your thoughts on the shot, on what the other members of the group would think? Were they on the hazards off the tee, your target, or on something unrelated to your game? What club did you hit off the first tee? Did you have a specific target in the fairway? Did your drive go straight, fade, draw, hook, or slice? Was your shot high or low? What did the ball flight look like? How would you rate your drive on a 1 to 10 scale? 1 would be the worst drive you could hit and 10 the best. Is this a shot you would want to commit to memory so you can call it up on the first tee the next time you play? Now let's go to the fairway for your approach shot. What kind of a lie did you have? Was it in the fairway or rough? Was the ball above or below your feet, or was it a level lie? Were there obstacles between you and the green? How far were you from the green? What club did you hit? If it was a par 5, did you lay up or go for the green? Did you have a specific target? What was your shot like? Was it high, low, left, right, or straight? What did the ball flight look like? Now, what's your rating on a 1 to 10 scale? Is this a shot you would want to commit to memory so you can call it up the next time you have a similar shot? Okay, let's go to the green. How far were you from the cup? How many putts did you have on the green? You think in pictures, with the exception, sometimes, of calculations and rote memory. As you answered the questions about the last time you played the first hole at your home course, you visualized. You had a picture in your mind of the first tee, the fairway, the hazards, the colors, and the sounds. You likely saw the flight of your tee and approach shots, and perhaps even the roll of your putt, or putts. And that would have been on the first green. Simply stated, you visualized. Yes, you can. In a 1994 Golf Magazine interview, Jack Nicklaus described a golf course, a particular tournament round, a hole, and the shot he hit in 1975. Several years ago, I would sit around listening to players discuss their round and a particular shot. I often wondered how they could remember so well. Now I can remember golf rounds and shots I hit years ago. The more focused you are during a round, the better your recall will be. You have the ability to selectively recall your good and great shots, and to use those shot images to ready your nervous system to perform the same swing again. Visualization will elude you when you try too hard to picture your swing or ball flight, or when you are under stress. The more stressful the situation, the more difficult it is to visualize. On the other hand, the more relaxed you are, the clearer the images will be. The chapter titled Fine-Tuning Your Nervous System describes what happens during stressful periods when you try unsuccessfully to visualize a shot or see the line on the green. Johnny Miller gives one of the best examples I have ever heard in his description of the effect of anxiety during play. He states that the arousal produced by pressure, and I quote, heightens your awareness. Your brain gets knocked up a notch or two. It speeds up, and the way you process data is messed up. You've got all this information coming to you real fast, and you're not used to it, so you get confused. You have to take deep breaths to slow your heartbeat, or sing a song, or walk more slowly. I've done all those things. I've likened pressure to tuning in a radio. Get too excited, tell yourself you want it badly, and it's static time. You can't let the moment overwhelm you and hold you captive. If you will follow the relaxation strategies outlined in the chapter, Fine-Tuning Your Nervous System, off the course, they will be well-practiced habits available to you on the course. In particular, when you are standing over a putt trying to see the line, take a couple of deep diaphragmatic breaths behind the ball. Think of a similar putt you made in this or a previous round. Recall the roll, the tempo, and the feeling of the stroke. Describe to yourself the path the ball will follow into the hole, and you will begin to notice the image of the path and the ball will take to the hole. Developing and improving visualization skills. You can develop and improve your visualization skills by setting practice goals, scheduling, and doing a few imagery exercises daily, and keeping a diary of your progress. Number one, breathing. The importance of breathing for relaxation and increased concentration has been described in the preceding chapters. For a review of this content, turn to the chapter titled Fine-Tuning Your Nervous System. In summary, deep diaphragmatic breathing quiets the nervous system and stems the flow of input to the brain, permitting a more focused concentration. You will achieve the best results by combining breathing and focusing your thinking on the shot or activity in which you are involved. Diaphragmatic breathing will increase your success with the following visualization practice exercises. Number two, burning in images. Hold a small, bright, colored object at eye level and focus your attention on the detail and color for 15 seconds. Close your eyes and note that you have an afterimage of the object. Take a deep breath and continue to hold this image. Review the details of the object as you hold the image. Number three, recall your past success. When you arrive at your ball and determine the shot you're going to hit, think of the last time you hit that shot well. Picture the ball flight and see and feel the swing that produced that shot. After your round, sit down and review your good shots you hit on the course. The Mind Under Par Series scorecard provides a format for this summary that you use and can record during play. After your round, it is easy to sit down and review only your good shots. It is much easier to call up one of these shots once they are reviewed and committed to memory. Number four, describe the flight of the ball, or call your shot. Have you ever noticed that when you're playing and tell someone the shot you're going to hit, you often hit the exact shot you described? Start describing the ball flight and landing of the ball to yourself. You think in pictures. Describing the shot you're going to hit prepares the brain for successful performance. Get in a habit of describing to yourself every shot you hit during practice and play, from putting to driving. If you've played much golf, you've likely hit the very shot you were playing well at some time in the past. The best image to have is a replay of the shot you hit well. It's much easier to call up a past experience than to create a new one. Stay focused on your target and off mechanics during this practice. If your thoughts are on swing mechanics when you describe your shots, you'll meet certain failure. Thoughts of mechanics during your swing is a sure formula for disaster. Describing each shot to yourself and staying focused on your targets during swings is a sure formula for success. Number five, define clear, specific targets. Be certain that the targets you are picking during play are precise. For example, if you are putting, your target may be a spot over which you want to roll the ball, or a spot in the back of the cup. A precise area on the green where you want to land your irons, a rake in a distant bunker you can reach, the corner of a chimney on a house on the horizon, or a specific small area in the fairway as a landing area off the tee. Always hold a clear picture of your goal. If you have a destination to drive in your car, you have a clear picture of your objective in your mind. You aren't just driving somewhere down the street. Your goals in life are the same. The more specific your targets in life or on the course, the more successful you will be at reaching your goals. Number 6, hold the image. Practice looking at objects in the distance with your eyes open. Then turn your head with your eyes open to a neutral area like a wall. See how long you can hold the image of that distant object. Your best images will come when you have the sensation that you are staring through the wall, not looking at the wall. See the image, not the wall. Once you're able to see the image consistently through the wall, place a golf ball at your feet as though you were setting up to hit a shot. Assume your stance and posture. Again, find an object, this time a bright object like a cola can. Stare at the object for 5 to 10 seconds, then turn your eyes back to the golf ball. Stare through the golf ball as you did the wall, and hold an image of the object for as long as you can. Once you're able to hold the image for 5 to 10 seconds, begin to practice with objects from 5 to 150 yards away. When you are able to look through the golf ball and hold these distant images for 5 to 10 seconds, you are ready to take your visualization skills to the practice range and the golf course. Number 7, start with putting and chipping. If you're going to work on visualization, the best place to begin is with putting and chipping. Practice finding the line the ball is going to take to the hole for your putts. Look at the hole as you make your practice strokes, feeling the distance to the hole as you do. Find a spot over which the ball will roll and hold an image of that spot as you repeat the feeling of your practice strokes. Sam Snead said, the best putting round he ever had was when he found a spot 3.5 inches in front of his ball. Be sure you feel the distance to the hole. You will find that your putts are short when you hold an image of a spot short of the hole. Your feeling for distance comes through your visual sense. Find a spot the size of a spike mark on your line and the same distance as or in the hole. Look at that spot as you feel the distance, then hold an image of the spot through your stroke. The best players I work with hold 1 of 3 images through the swing or stroke: ball landing, ball flight, or target. And for putting, it would be line, ball rolling in the hole, or spot over which you want the ball to roll, or spot in or around the cup. For chipping, estimate the distance you want the ball to fly onto the green. Find a spot or discoloration in this landing area and read the rest of the distance to the hole, just as you would for a putt. Find the line the ball will take to the hole. When you set up over the ball, look at the spot on the green where you want the ball to land. Make 3 or 4 practice strokes as you look at the spot, feeling the distance as you do, and then hold an image of that spot as you make the stroke. Many players hold an image of the ball rolling the last few inches into the hole, and even hear the ball hitting the flagstick as they stroke the chip. That's a variation of spot chipping, and we refer to it as hole chipping. Harvey Penick, instructor of many PGA and LPGA Tour players over the years, said the following regarding thoughts and images during putting. I believe your mind should be on the cup and your touch. Once you are proficient at holding images of your targets in chipping and putting, extend your practice to wedges, then mid and long irons, and finally the driver. Work on holding these images as you look through the ball, from the time you start your stroke or swing to the completion of your follow-through. After you describe the shot, feel and see the swing you want to make from behind the ball. Glue your eyes to the target as you deliberately move back to the ball. Keep looking back and forth from the ball to the target. Burn the image of your target into your mind as you look back and through the ball. If an image of the target is difficult, you might have more success seeing the ball or ball landing during your swing. Number 8, Have a picture and a feeling of your swing. The best swing advice I can give you is to have one instructor and one swing. It is important to have a picture of that swing in your mind. When you set up to a shot, make a practice swing and feel the whole swing. Your goal is to see the swing, feel the tempo, and your balance as you make your practice swing. And then repeat that feeling when you set up to the ball. The first paragraph of this chapter is a quote from Jack Nicklaus regarding his visualization in his pre-swing routine. As part of his visualization, he describes seeing himself make the swing that would produce the shot he visualized. Later in this chapter, you will read about how important these images are in building a positive motor program in the nervous system. Number nine, hold every shot. Many players play to get the ball close. I want you to hold every shot, whether it is a putt, a chip, or a 7-iron, from 150 yards. See every shot all the way into the hole. You should have these images of making the shot from behind the ball. Once over the ball, hold the image of your primary target, the ball flight, or ball landing. If you're playing to get the ball close, that's exactly what you will do. If you play to hole out every shot, you will start to chip in more often.
This is the end of Side A. Please turn the cassette over now for Side B.